Thank you, Jesus. Let's open to the book of Ezekiel chapter 37 and let's bow our heads and pray. Lord of glory, we thank you that you said in your word that where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are. Thank you that you are here, for your Holy Spirit is here. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The Lord is that Spirit. Thank you that you are here by your Spirit. And we give you all the glory. And we say thank you, Lord, as you help us to understand your word as you speak to us tonight, Lord. And thank you for grace to be hearers and doers of your word. Thank you, Lord of glory, as you speak through me in the name of Jesus. Lord, we give all the glory that we won't leave here the same way as we have come. And Lord, we want to thank you in advance for answered prayers in the name of Jesus. For the great and many things that you have wrought in this place, even before we came in. Lord, we give all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. And everyone says amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Please, let's open once more to Ezekiel chapter 37. Are we there? Yes. We are going to zero down to verse 11 to 14, but before we do that, let's lay a little bit of foundation. We all know that in Ezekiel chapter 36, we see it there, the promise of us being born again, the old sinful spirit removed and a new spirit, and the Spirit of God put in us so that we will obey. And so we see the promise there from Ezekiel chapter 36 from verse 22, and then we see it to verse 27. He will put his spirit within us and we will obey him. Remember, the spirit he put in us is also the spirit of grace. The Spirit of God is filled with power to do truth, to do the word of God. And so what we lack to obey God has been supplied by the Spirit of God. And we give God all the glory. And again, we see the same thing in Ezekiel chapter 37 from verse 1 to 14. You will see it there, the promise again, raising us up from the dead and putting his Spirit within us, helping us to obey him by the Spirit that he put in us. And so we see similarities in the two chapters, but what we have all failed to realize is after the born again experience in these two chapters made mention, there is also promises for the believer, for the one that he has raised up. God did not just raise us up from the dead and put his Spirit in us and that is it. No, he still has a lot of things. He still has a lot of things. Remember when he delivered Israel from Egypt, he did not just leave them there. He led them to the promised land. And in the promised land, they lived happily. And we give God all the glory that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will not leave you and I midway. He that started a good work in us is faithful to continue that work and bring it to his own expected end. And we all know, he says, "Beloved, I will above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." And so you see the good end. He wants a good end. He has not just come to make us to be born again, but he has plans, even on this earth, for us to live good, for He said it in his word that his thoughts, his will, his plans for you and I, they are good plans, not evil plans. Plans to give us peace and to bring us to his own expected end. And we see the pattern of how God does things. We see that he took Israel, he took Jacob to the promised land, and they dwelt there safely. And so again, we see a pattern. Please let's look at Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 11 and 14. But one thing you and I have to understand before we read that is the truth that when Israel left the land of Egypt, before they got to the promised land, before they entered into the promised land where they had rest, where they had all their needs met, there was a journey, there was a gap from when they left Egypt to the time of entrance into the promised land. You see, the gap where they went through things, the troubles of life, where they walked in the wilderness of life, where they walked in the desert of life. But you know something? Even as they walked in the wildernesses and the deserts of life, the Bible says, rivers in the desert will you see. So they saw rivers. They drank of the rock, even in the midst of the desert. And he said he will make way where there seemed to be no way. Way, a path in the wilderness, did they see. The Lord led them through the wilderness. And we give God all the glory that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is still leading his own. After he translated us by his power from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his own dear son, he's still leading us. He's still with us. He has not left us after we became born again. He's with us, he's in us and upon us and with us, and he's leading his own through the troubles of life, through the journeys of life, through the afflictions of life. Everything the enemy throws at us, never forget that you are not alone. He said he will never leave us, he will never forsake us, he will never fail us. He said it. And so again, we see a key. Please let's zero down to verses 11 to 14 of that Ezekiel chapter 37. Please let's go. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Let's pause there for a moment. Now look at this. Behold, they say, these are the people saying, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. What is the Lord making us to realize? They looked round about them. They saw the state that they are in. And it's the same way. When Israel journeyed to the promised land, the people looked round about them. They looked back. They looked at their situation, that this is desert, wilderness. There's nothing. Of course, nothing grows per se in the desert. And so that is what they saw. We know that in the wilderness you have, you know, snakes and everything. And so you could see fear. Everything. They looked round about them, and even we're living in tents, you know, there's nothing happening. And so they looked at the dry bones of their lives. And I tell you, these are the people of God. And I tell you that this is, you can't say it is them alone. No, you will find out that we believers, we're still doing the same thing. We look at ourselves, we look round about us, and we say, oh, there's nothing. There's nothing. Perhaps it would have been best if I did not accept Christ. You know, I had no troubles then. In the midst of the afflictions of life, we believers, we say the same thing. We say, behold, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our part. Now, look at verse 12. Therefore, prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Now, see a key. The Lord is telling them that he will raise them up again. And I tell you, what did he tell? His own words he gave to the prophet to go and tell the people. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We see a pattern here. In every negative situation, the word of God is there for us to look at. That is the lesson we have to truly gain from these verses. Yes, the people, you and I, similar. We all look around. They are saying something else. But look, the Lord was confirming to them all what the prophets had been saying even before Ezekiel. And so again, he reminded them, expatiating, saying, therefore, prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people. You see, this is referring, directed to the people of God. And you and I, as believers, we are people of God. No matter the situation you are in, change your confession. Don't look at things round about you. Don't look at yourself. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same rock of ages who followed Israel in the desert. He led them. He gave them water in the desert. He fed them. And so he's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. In other words, in all the troubles of life, we have to look to the word of God. And Jesus is the word of God. He is the one, as we look into the word of himself, according as he is written, he is the one who will fulfill the word, the very word. Only look to the word. Keep looking at the word of God. Keep hearing the word of God. Keep looking at the word of life. And so again, he says, therefore, prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. We see there, he's telling you and I that he will make us born again and put us into the promised land, his kingdom. And we know in the promised land, all their needs were met. In fact, they did not eat of the work of their hands in the first few years. Vineyards that they did not plant, they ate of it. Houses that they did not build, they slept in it. And so again, you see a pattern. After the born again experience, remember that we've been translated into God's kingdom. And in the kingdom of God, there is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God is there to help us and to do the word of God for us. We do not lack any good thing in God's kingdom. For God's plans, all the spiritual blessings, everything that pertains to life and godliness is already available in the kingdom of God, just as everything was set in the promised land for Israel. And so again, you see, after the born again, after that, he says, I will cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. You can see, after the born again experience, you see that just as Israel entered into the promised land, so are we also in God's kingdom. And I tell you, no matter the situation we're in, there's a rest in Christ for you and I, a rest from all afflictions, from all the troubles of life. And these we have to know. Verse 13 says, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. In other words, it is already done. So he sent his word according as it is written to them. Stop saying that you are hopeless. Stop saying that your hope is gone. Stop saying that you are dead and that there is nothing. Stop saying that you are cut off. Remember my words. That is, I have already done it. Now, looking at these two chapters, let's look at verses 24 to 28 of Ezekiel chapter 37. You will see the promises. After the born again experience, you have to start looking at the word of hope. You have to start looking at the word of promise. Let's take it from verse 24 to 28 together. And David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgment and observe my statutes and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt. And they shall dwell therein, even they and their children, and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forever. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore, in Jesus' name. You can see, part of the promise, we have become his own people, and he's dwelling in us and upon us and with us, Christ in us, our hope of glory. So you see, these are the promises. We belong to him. We have to be confidently assured, be people who know that they belong to God in Christ Jesus. Many of us doubt. When we doubt, oh, is God with us in the midst of this trouble? We don't go back to the word to understand that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And that is the seal of ownership. We belong to God. We belong to Christ. So he can never leave us. He can never forsake us. He will never fail us. We should fear not. Before we look at chapter 36, let's look at Hebrews chapter 13. Let's zero down to verse 5 to 8. These are things we should be looking at in the midst of the troubles of life, in the midst of the afflictions of life. We should be looking at these words. Never let them depart from our eyes. Let us be looking at the word of promise. The word, after the born again, God had plans for you and I, and he has spoken them even at the foundation of the world. The word, the work is finished, and is all in the Bible. You and I have to know. We have to keep looking at these things so that the word of God will get into our hearts and flow into our soul. For in the midst of trouble, we need peace for our soul. We need peace for our soul. Otherwise, a troubled soul will be speaking the trouble. Just as they said, their bones are dried, they are dead, there's no hope, all is lost. A troubled soul, a soul that is not focused on the word of God, will speak the same. Please, let's read Hebrews chapter 13. Let's take it from verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he had said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have rule over thee, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. In the name of Jesus. And so again, even those who have rule, look at it, is the faith, the same faith that you see people of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. In other words, in the midst of the troubles of life, in the midst of the afflictions of life, let your faith, let my faith be growing and growing and growing. That way we will find out that we will start to say less and less of the trouble, and we'll start to say more and more and more of the promises of God. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Let's go back to Ezekiel chapter 36 this time, and let's take it from verse 29 to 38. You see, after the born again, look at what the Lord says in verse 28 to 38. Please, let's take it together. Let's go. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field, that you shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Please, let's pause there for a while, but you can see the promise. The Lord says, in the land he has given you, in other words, his will, his plans and purposes, he will place you in that his will, his plans for your life. You are his person, we are his people, Your God, He is my God, He is our God, because we have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. And He will cleanse our soul, He will cleanse our bodies, you see, cleansing us so that we can start to obey. And look at it, I will call for the corn and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. In other words, you will not lack any good thing. You will not lack any good thing. And He will multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field. You will not receive any reproach of famine. Even the heathen will say, look at what the Lord hath done for them. They will know that the hand of the Lord is upon you and I. Only change your confession. Only change what you are saying. You cannot change what you are saying if you remove your eyes from the Word of God and you lay and you focus your eyes on the trouble. Your soul will be thinking of the trouble if you don't focus your soul on the Word of God. That's why it is very important for us to keep hearing and hearing the Word of God, so that we understand and believe by faith. And with that belief in the heart, the Word of God will get into the heart. He will put His Word in our heart because we believe. He will write the Word of promise, the Word of hope in our hearts, because we believe. And guess what? That same faith, the same spirit of faith, the same God who put His Word in our heart because we believe, He helps us to believe by faith. The same God will help us to speak the very words in our heart out at the times of troubles. We will find ourselves just speaking the word of hope, speaking the word of promise. It is by the spirit of faith. It is not of us. It is now His power overriding the weakness of the soul. You just find yourself speaking from the depth of your heart. God has blessed me. I enjoy the riches of His goodness in the land of the living. Because you believe, I believe. We have in the same spirit of faith according as it is written. We believe and therefore speak. It is the same spirit of God as He put His word in our hearts, because we keep looking at the word of promise. We remove eyes from the troubles of life. We make sure we're always looking into the word of life daily. The word of life is also the word of hope. The word of life is also the word of hope. It is also the word of hope. Please let's continue. Verse 31 says, then shall you remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Not for your sake do I do this, saith the Lord. Be it known unto you, be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste shall be what? Builded. In other words, those desert places of our lives, the places in areas in our lives that we think, okay, they are dead, the ones, the very things we are looking at and we're saying we are nothing, it is nothing, there is no hope. Those same places will be builded up. He will build up the broken foundation, the broken bridges. He will build this, He will build them up. Those places that are the wilderness and the deserts of our lives, those very same areas will the Lord build up. He will build them up. He will build you up. He will build me up. Only stop looking at them in that fallen state. Look at the word of God, for it is the word of God, the word of his power that will build. It is the word of his power that will change all those places. Please, let's pause there. Let's look at the book of Acts chapter 20. Let's look at verse 32. Acts chapter 20. And verse 32, please let's go. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Please let's go again. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified in the mighty name of Jesus. And so again, you see why the word of God is so important. It is the word of his grace, the word of his power. God and his word, they are one and the same. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, the word of his power, the word of his strength, the word of his might, which is able to build you up, to build up the waste places, to build up those areas that we are worried about, to build us up, to remove the affliction and to make them right. So again, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. An inheritance, the plans of God, the will of God for us, the blessings of God, which he had purposed in Christ even before the foundation of the world. This we have to understand, the inheritance. Please let's open to 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 1. Let's look at it from verse 1. You will see it that it is to you and I. From verse 1, let's read it to verse 3. Okay, let's go. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And so again we see, his divine power hath given unto us all things, the inheritance of the saints. His power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And so we see good plans. After the born again experience, God continues his work in our lives. He says he will never leave us, he will never forsake us. Remember, he was with them right from Egypt. Even before they left Egypt, he was with them. And he led them through the desert. Every trouble they went through in the desert and in the wilderness, God sorted it out. The pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day and the rock of ages. You see, the Lord God and his glory. The glory of the Lord God and the Lord God. They led them. And it's the same thing too. The rock of ages is always with you and I, individually and collectively. And the Holy Ghost, who is the glory of the Lord God, is also with us. Christ in us, our hope of glory, he is upon us, and with us. And so again, we see he will perform his good work. He will finish his plans, his purpose, his will for us. Remember, the scripture says, all things work together for good to them that love God and that are called according to his plans and purpose. And so again, we see that he has plans. He has given us plans. And so we have to keep looking at the word of God. Even as we are looking at these scriptures now, we are looking at the word of God, the word of hope. Now, please let's read verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So we see again, the word of God is given to us. It is the word of the power of God. It is the word of grace that will build you and I, up. All the things we look at and say, oh, look at, there's nothing. We are nothing. There is nothing. It is the word of his grace that will build up the dry places, the waste places, the dry areas of our lives. It is the word of God, the word of grace, the word of the power of God that will sort all those things out. Let's go back to Ezekiel chapter 36. And so again, verse 34 now, and the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that pass by. See that? People may be looking at you. You may be saying, oh, you are nothing, you are a nobody. There is nothing happening in your life. And you too, you will look at yourself and say, oh, there is nothing. All these troubles, there's nothing. But look at the promise of the Lord. The desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that pass by, and they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden. I tell you, when you change your own confession, when you focus on the word of God and you start to speak the word of hope, when the Lord performs what you are saying in his sight, in his ears, because what you are saying lines up with his word, it is the word of himself, you are in agreement with the word of hope, the word of God, then he will build all these places, the waste places of your life, he will build them again. And those that said you were nobody, that you are nothing, they will also change their confession, for now they have seen it. They will start to say, ah, it is the doing of the Lord. This is when the Lord turned around the captivity of Zion, who were like them that dream, our mouth was filled with laughter and singing in our lips. Then the heathen, they too will see it and say, the Lord has done great things for them. And we see here in verse 35, and they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock, as the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feast. So shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord. See a key. The Lord wants to show off you and I, born again believers, to show us off to the heathen as the works of his hands, building up every dry places in our lives. Building up every dry places in our lives. But you have to stop saying you are in a hopeless position. You are in a hopeless situation that you are dry, or look, there is nothing happening. You have to change. You have to allow him to change the words of your mouth by looking unto the word of life. Please, let's open to Romans chapter 15, verse 4. And so when the Lord says, don't allow this word to depart from your eyes and your mouth, meditate therein day and night so that it can get into your heart. You will know it, you believe it, it gets into your heart, and you start to speak it, and you start to do it. For if the word of God is not in the heart, we can't speak it, nor can we do it. But when we believe the word of God, then it gets into the heart. But how can we believe the word of God if we are not looking into the word of life daily, and we come to church to hear the word of God? For faith is needed to believe the word of God. And we all know faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so the beginning of having faith in your heart to believe God is to start to hear and hear. Don't allow the word of God to depart. Keep looking into the word of life. Keep looking into the word of hope. For if you don't keep doing that, then your eyes will focus on the problem. And what you keep seeing is what you will say. For what you are seeing is what will get into your heart. But if you are looking into the word of God daily, you are hearing it, is there before your eyes. After some time, you keep doing it, don't let go. One day, you will start to hear yourself speak the same words. And it's not of you, it's the Spirit of God speaking from your heart, because you kept hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Even in the midst of the troubles of life, you kept hearing and hearing the word of God. You kept coming to church to hear the word of life, the word of hope. And guess what? Faith flowing, you start to believe by faith the very words you keep looking at and hearing. And guess what? Because you believe, the word will start to get into your heart. And God, who is doing that in your life, will start to speak it from your belly. It is a process, a divine process, which we have to submit to. Please, let's read Romans chapter 15, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Please underline that. You cannot have hope in God to turn around the situations of life or the troubles of life. You cannot have hope that God will build up the waste places. He will guide you. He will help you. He will get you out of the dead situation if you are not looking into the word of hope. They were looking at the dry bones. And so they started to speak what the dry bones were saying to them, because they kept looking at it. Now the Lord brought his word for them to start looking at his word and to remove their focus from the dry bones so that they can now start to speak the word of hope. And it's the same thing too. If you want peace for your soul, start looking at the word of hope. For it is the same word of hope that will give hope to the soul, that will also strengthen your soul, anchoring your soul to the word of God so that you will not worry anymore. For the word of hope is also the word of power. In the midst of the troubles of life, only the power of God can stabilize the soul. And only the word of God is the word of power that will stabilize the soul. God will not just release his power, it is also according to his word. He does things according to truth. So if you and I are looking at the word of God, we are guaranteed access to the power of God, the word of his power. The very words we are looking at, they are filled with power. And so again, we see in the scriptures is the power of hope in the very words of God. So as we start to look at the word of God daily, we have hope. Hope is birthed in the spirit and flows into the soul. So you can see hope in God, hope in the power of God to do things is according to the word of God, for God and his word are one and same. You hope in God according to his word. Let's drop down to verses 13 and 14 of that same scripture. Please let's go. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Please let's go again. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. See a key. The word of God is the word of hope. Is the word that when you are looking at it, it has power to help us to hope in the very words that we're looking at. And we all know the scripture says Christ is our hope, isn't it? And Christ is the word of God. And so again, you can see God and his word are one. You hope in God according to his word. And when we are looking at the scriptures, remember, he gave the prophet his word to go and speak his word to them. In other words, these very words from God through the prophet, start looking at those words. Focus on those words. Those are the words of promise, the great, precious, and exceeding promises given, the word of God. And so again, in any situation, let's make sure we look through the scriptures. The word of promise is also the word of hope. The word of promise is also the word of hope. And that's how the confession can change. And when we start to speak from our heart by the power of the Holy Ghost, the word of hope, that's the beginning of change. If you are still confessing the trouble, God will not change it. The time for change has not come. But when you start to speak as he speaks, because that's the power of agreement. Can the two work together unless they be agreed? Can he do anything in our lives unless we're in agreement with him? And so when we start to speak the word of hope, according as it is written, I tell you, soon and very soon, the Egypt you saw before, you will see them no more. the affliction you are going through, you will see them no more, because you've started to speak by the power of the Holy Ghost, who is also called the Spirit of Faith, the Word of Hope. Your confession has changed. And so again, Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Hope will not come if you don't believe the word of God. See the key? Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Please underline that. In believing. We know we haven't the same spirit of faith. According as it is written, we believe and therefore speak. And so again, you see, believe. When we believe, our faith will access grace that will produce hope in us. But everything starts and must continue with hearing and hearing the word of God. Let's give him all the glory tonight. And so again, we have to understand that as we come together to pray, don't remove your eyes from the word of God. We have to be people praying with that hope. That's the key now. People of hope pray to God. People who don't have hope, they confess the negative. They say the bones are dried. Nothing is changing. We are nothing. But people of hope, they confess the word of God. They say, I know that I know that my days, they are days of heaven on earth, in the mighty name of Jesus. And so, please let's open to Romans chapter 8. If you don't have hope in God, you won't pray to God. We have to understand. And how can we have hope in God if we are not looking at the word of life, the word of God, the testimony of Jesus, the good report, the great and precious promises? The Bible is also called the word of hope. You hope in God based on his word. Please let's read Romans chapter 8 from verse 24 to 28. Even as we prepare to pray, please let's go. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for what we, for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. And so again, we see a key. We are saved by hope in the midst of the troubles of life, because we hope in him. He would definitely come through for us. And those who hope in God, they speak the very words of hope, the very word of God that they hope God for in that situation. And so again, we see a key. Please let's thank him for his word. Even as we prepare to pray tonight, we are people of hope. And so people of hope pray to God. And we thank God that tonight he's going to help us pray the will of God. And we give God all the glory that all the scriptures we're going to use, we've been looking at them. Hope has been in our hearts even before we came through those doors. And as we heard the word of hope, hope was increased. Hope is increased in our hearts and in our soul. Our soul is at rest because we hope in Him. Lord, we give all the glory. Thank you for your word tonight. Thank you, King of glory. Thank you. Thank you for the word of hope. We know you will never leave us. You will never forsake us. You will never fail us. For we've never heard you fail, Lord. And Lord, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, we bless you that our case is according as you have said it. You will never fail us. Our end is good. You have built us up. Every waste area is built up for the word of grace. God and his word of grace, they're in our lives. The word of power is in operation. For we hope in him and we know he will never fail us. Lord, we bless you and we say thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you are our hope. Lord, we bless you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.